Good morning, Brian of London here. Let's share that via Telegram. And thank you to Laura Luma for the hat. Stop the bias. Hey, Chris, Colleen, in the morning to you, or in the evening for you. But it's always in the morning, somewhere in the world. And it's Brian of London here in my park. This is a bit of an ill-fitting hat. I'm sorry to say that, Laura, but whatever. I thought I'd wear it in honor of her news of, despite banning from everywhere, raising a ton of money. And I hope she goes on to win. Is it Florida 21? District 21, congressional district. So, what have I've got lots to talk about. First up, I hope everybody saw the clip I shared of Maxine Waters speaking sense for 1 minute. And the reason she spoke sense was because I'm firmly of the belief that she was reading my words. I heard a few, maybe a month and a half ago, that Zuckerberg was going to be in front of her committee discussing Libra. And as many people will know, I'm involved in a class action lawsuit in Australia around cryptocurrency and the banning of advertising by Facebook, Google and Twitter, started by Facebook, that banned and castigated the entire crypto industry as a scam. And so I wrote to Maxine Waters's committee, just very, very quick. It was a web form. It wasn't even an email. I just put three paragraphs. I included the quote from the Facebook terms and conditions from January 2018, which banned cryptocurrencies. And lo and behold, I sort of settled down to the painful task of watching 6 hours of congressional testimony by Zuckerberg. And it kicks off with first an introduction by Maxine Waters, which was incoherent and rambling, followed by the ranking Republican on the committee, which was, he was sort of okay because he was trying to say, we still need innovation in America, and they do need innovation in America, and you can't just ban everything you don't like or that scares you. And then Zuckerberg spoke for 5 minutes, and then Maxine Waters recognizes herself. I love that phrase. I now recognize myself for 5 minutes. It's a great phrase to have someone say in public. And so Maxine Waters recognized herself for 5 minutes. And I was actually driving, listening to YouTube while driving. And then suddenly she starts talking about the crypto ad ban. She asks Zuckerberg this question: did you ban all advertising of crypto because you thought that crypto is a scam, or because you thought that later you could swoop in with your giant market power and wealth and capture the whole industry? And she asked this question, and it was pretty much verbatim what I'd sent in. She sort of changed it around. But then, unfortunately, what she did was, in her 5 minutes, she rambled on about this Democrat thing where they want Facebook to act as a political censor. Well, why don't you stop politicians from lying on Facebook? AOC, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, came with the same nonsense at the very, very end, 6 hours later, for anybody who had the patience to get there. And so she mixed up the crypto ad ban question with this political censorship thing. And by doing that, of course, it meant that Zuckerberg never answered this question because he ran out of time way before he could address it. I don't think he would have said anything about it under almost any circumstances. I mean, perhaps a single direct question: why did you ban advertising of crypto products and then launch a crypto product? But it was good enough, and to be honest, I'll take it as a huge win. It's even though it's Maxine Waters, it's very important for us to have a recognition in the House of Congress of America's Financial Services Committee to recognize that the chairwoman of the entire meeting puts on record that Facebook banned the advertising of cryptocurrencies and then 1 year later launched a cryptocurrency. That was a huge, I was I was whooping and hollering for joy whilst driving. That was cool. I enjoyed that very, very much indeed. As to the rest of the testimony, I think Tim Pool said this as well. He hates the idea that he has to defend Zuckerberg. And I'm also on there with the questioning on the whole. The Democrat questioning was so ridiculous. I mean, there was the one guy, is it Al Green? Al whatever it is. Who literally, there are 21 members currently of the Libra Association. These are giant multinational companies and some NGOs thrown in. And he asks Zuckerberg, how many of those multinational companies and NGOs have women as chief executives? And Zuckerberg's like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't, you know, it's like, this is this obsession with gender, race, and identity. Only if you are obsessed with gender, race, and identity do you care. It's like, okay. Well, he didn't pick them. He did not pick Uber or Lyft or Spotify to be members of his association because they had a woman running the company. You don't do that. And then there was a whole line of questioning elsewhere in the thing. That Facebook hasn't got enough diversity working for it. So, I mean, there's so much they could ask him. There's so much they could talk about, and they waste their time on this crap. And I mean, the Republicans were also caught with it. The Republicans tried to stick to talking about Libra, which was the purpose of the meeting. But even then, they don't know what they're talking about. Very few of those. There's two, I think, there's two members who actually display some knowledge of how to code blockchain apps. I mean, literally. And they had some sort of good questions, but none of this works in a public setting. And a sort of a 6-hour testimony with these 5-minute blocks, it's theatre. As the No Agenda guys have said for many, many a year, you know, and they've long said they watch C-SPAN so we don't have to. Well, I watched C-SPAN. I watched that whole 6 hours. Took me 3 or 4 sittings, but I got through it all. I think I heard every question. Nothing moves forward. Now, America is in huge danger of losing any technological lead in cryptocurrencies because they've backed themselves into a regulatory morass. That America is over-regulating itself. Their entire banking industry is the most regulated, ridiculously regulated, and it didn't prevent the 2008 crash and bailout. They've now exported their nonsense regulations around the world. American citizens find it very difficult to open bank accounts anywhere else in the world, even in compliance, because what happens is the foreign bank, as soon as one American opens a bank account in a foreign bank, even if it's allowed, even if it's within the rules, that bank then has to join a compliance system that just makes it almost impossible. And this is, it's crazy what America's doing, and they're in danger. They are not going to be the leaders in crypto technology. A lot of them were grilling Zuckerberg all the time as why is the Libra established, Libra corporate, the overall parent of the Libra Association, why is that in Switzerland? Of course it has to be in Switzerland. It can't be in America because America's just not regulatorily friendly enough. And I understand why he's done it. He didn't want to say that, but that is. Anyway, you're listening to Brian of London. I'm in line with the No Agenda show. I've been told to do more channel idents during the show. So this is Brian of London. I'm in the park in Tel Aviv, a park called Bereshit Forest. Anyway, back to Facebook, back to Zuckerberg being grilled. It's like I'd love to see one decent interview with the guy that wasn't like 20 minutes. You know, he did a Fox interview and he did a Georgetown thing. But go on the Joe Rogan show or something like that. Talk to me. I'm of the opinion, moving it out beyond Libra, that Zuckerberg is fighting internal demons. I don't think he's fully bought into the social justice warrior environment that he finds himself surrounded by. Someone on the Periscope comments asks, do you like America? I love America. Yes. I love America. Really do. One of the greatest experiments in nation building ever. By the way, this video recorded on Periscope. The next place it will be posted is, of course, ThreeSpeak on the Steam blockchain. Eventually, it may make its way onto YouTube because I still have an audience there. If you're watching this on YouTube, know that you'll be seeing this at least 2, 3, maybe 4 days after the people who are on ThreeSpeak. So look for the link down below that links direct to ThreeSpeak. Go over there. You can log in with your Google or your Facebook ID or your Twitter and subscribe and watch my videos first on ThreeSpeak. Anyway, Zuckerberg is conflicted internally. I think that's clear. Because, like, talking now about he wants free speech and... And, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen had a go at him for this example of Nazis. You know, sort of, would you throw Nazis out of your high-end restaurant? Well, maybe. And I'm of the opinion that, yes, there will always be Nazis on Facebook because they'll just pop up again and again and again. There are Nazis on Twitter still. They're there on Gab. I don't care. All I want, all I need is the ability when I'm sick of them to finally block them. That's it. Me personally, I've said this example before, which Peter McLaughlin, who's banned from everywhere, said, who's the author of Muhammad's Quran, co-author with Tommy. He said what we need is shared block lists, and I'll give this example again. So let the SPLC create a list of people who should be blocked, and if somebody wants to follow the SPLC's block list, they'll never see any of the people that SPLC don't like, or in the British example, hope not hate. Let them compile a list. Don't throw people off these platforms. Just allow you to subscribe to the block list of your censor of choice. Now, my censor of choice is me. I do not want anybody else to filter my view of the internet. In Israel, for example, I cannot see Hamas's Twitter account. Okay? That's because the Israeli government went to Twitter and said, block this in Israel. I mean, it's annoying. It means I have another account and it gives its locations in America and I can see Hamas's tweets. I want to see them. I don't want the Israeli government or anyone telling me what I can and can't see. I want to make those decisions for myself. I block people on Twitter. If I get Nazis throwing... what's that woman, the Barbara Spector, at me after 2 or 3 times, I just block them. I just can't be bothered. I don't want them thrown off the platform. I just don't want to see them, but I want me in control. Now, if you want to let the SPLC decide who you see on Twitter and Facebook, allow the SPLC to own and maintain their own list of blocks, and you subscribe. So just like you subscribe to someone on Twitter, you should be able to subscribe to a block list, and then you won't have to see the nasty Nazis. That was actually Peter McLaughlin's idea. He took it to Gab. Gab haven't implemented it. I've told it to the ThreeSpeak guys. I mean, we don't really have a problem yet on the platform because we don't have a vast amount of content that I don't like yet. But we're seriously considering it. In fact, Steam kind of works that way. Because Steam, you can't... Once somebody buys their own Steam account, and that Steam account is there, it's their property on the blockchain. It's very hard to stop them posting to the blockchain. Now, if somebody were to be posting illegal or dangerous content, there is a facility within all the front ends of Steam to hide that content. But it is written into the blockchain. So, philosophically, it's anti-censorship. But and bringing this back to Zuckerberg, I think that's where he wants to go. And so instead of removing people from his platform, and he really, Laura Loomer has to be allowed back on. Tommy Robinson has to be allowed back on. You have to allow discussion of this. Now, if you want to give Hope Not Hate in the UK or the SPLC or the ADL a facility whereby they can say, nobody can look at Laura Loomer. Well, it's not nobody. People who subscribe and who want to be censored and to follow the censorship requirements of the ADL, yeah, let them follow those. That's my idea, give them free. It's probably a hugely patentable idea, but it only works when somebody like Facebook implements it. But I mean, overall, I think that Facebook, Google, Twitter. These companies are too big. Wikipedia. We have a huge problem with Wikipedia. I'm starting to believe that the Wikipedia program is way bigger. The problem with Wikipedia is way bigger than we think, because it's starting to get itself into history textbooks, and that's a big problem for contentious areas. I mean, anything to do with alternative medicine, and I'm not a detractor or a believer in alternative medicine. I think that the modern pharmaceutical industry does suppress alternatives that might be better than they are. And unfortunately, with their huge money paying for advertising, they're gonna be doing all of that. And the suppression within a system as big as Facebook and as powerful and as all-encompassing, that's the problem. The problem is when these systems have everybody on. I remember back to the earliest days of the internet when it was Usenet, and then web forums came along. Everything, I kind of think that was compartmentalized and a bit more healthy than this one all-encompassing Facebook system where everything is, and that exclusion from that feels like exclusion from the entire internet. I mean, you know, I'm excluded from Facebook. There are videos that I don't see, and you know, I don't follow my friends' holidays in wherever in Japan because I'm not on the Facebook. But I'm not feeling bad about it. By the way, there's a great travel component to Steam, where if you post good travel reviews, sort of like TripAdvisor, but if you put your travel advice into the Steam version, you will get money. And you'll be paid by the people who read your the system generates value, and you get a share of that, rather than TripAdvisor just making tons of cash off the back of your reviews. What? Web 3.0, this realization that you own your own stuff, that you own what you create, that your contributions are valuable, that will overtake Web 2.0. And bringing it back to where I started with Maxine Waters and mentioning the crypto ad ban, the case is ongoing. I don't have any new news for you, but it has not gone away. When there is news, there will be news. That's all I can say. But it was very, very, very good to have it on record in Congress. And I'm going to find the C-SPAN clip when they post it. It was fantastic that the banning of advertising of cryptocurrencies was recognized in the House of Congress Financial Services Committee by the chairwoman herself, Maxine. Anybody who is a No Agenda listener and a No Agenda producer like myself would know all about the Maxine Waters. She's a legend on that show. Anyway, you're listening to Brian of London. I am in the forest. Oh, I think I said I would talk a bit about indigenous identity. I'm going to have to do that in a separate podcast. Just something popped up in my feed earlier about someone who'd returned to Vietnam, a private tweet actually, returned to Vietnam actually, and a Vietnamese American, but who, when they go back to Vietnam, feel something different. And that's what an indigenous identity means. It doesn't mean you can't also have an American identity, but, and also I believe that Americans have very strong indigenous identities. Post the Native Americans, who obviously are indigenous, but the rights of long-standing presence and the indigenous identities, especially state identities and even more local identities, are very strong within Americans. And they don't really understand the nature of that. The nature of living somewhere where you have a long family history and your ancestors are buried. And that goes back 200-400 years in some places in America. That's strong enough. This is the unpopular opinion. White South African farmers, they have an indigenous identity which they have created in South Africa that is distinct from the Dutch identity that they came from. So that Dutch heritage Boer Christian identity on the land in South Africa with the farming, that's an indigenous identity that's grown up. Same with Australia. Now, it's a right of long-standing presence. It's not as deep as an indigenous Aboriginal identity, but it can be very, very, very strong, and just as strong for modern society, and we do all have to get along, and that's what I have to say now. I'll do a longer one on Indigenous identity. It's one that keeps coming up. Anyway, Brian of London here in the Forest in Tel Aviv, wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom. Now we're looking forward with almost an unbroken run towards Hanukkah, which is a long way off. Weather has changed. We're into autumn, sort of winterish, big storm coming. As I always said, Sukkot is the marks the boundary of the seasons in Israel, because it just does. So, Bride of London, wishing you all Shabbat Shalom, and catch you all next time.